According to a report in the Washington Post, some Democrats are concerned that Hillary Clinton's campaign is not doing enough to shore up Hispanic voters. She is trailing in Hispanic voter support when compared to Barack Obama in 2012 in key states, including Florida, Nevada, Colorado, and Arizona. We'll discuss why this could be, the importance of the Hispanic vote, and issues important to Latinos and Hispanic voters. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, September 20th. Hispanic voters in the United States are expected to play a major role on Election Day and could ultimately determine the final outcome. And as Hispanic Heritage Month gets underway, we decided to take this hour to look at the efforts of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump to reach out to Hispanic voters, as well as the issues that are on their minds. So what questions you have here? What issues are important to you if you are a Latino or a Hispanic voter? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Luis Ricardo Fraga, a professor of political science and co-director of the Institute for Latino Studies at the University of Notre Dame. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. I'm very happy to be with you again.
Yes, good to have you back. Well, I wanted to just kind of start off with some definitions here. When we talk about Latino voters or Hispanic voters, are these terms interchangeable or in this context?
Yeah, yes, they are. These are terms that people have different preferences for. When you look at which term most people, if you will, with origins in Spanish-speaking countries prefer, Hispanic is a more preferred term. Latino is also a very acceptable term.
Because I actually, I see Latino more and more often these days when it was always Hispanic. There is no, you're actually saying that Spanish-speaking prefer Hispanic.
No, I'm saying that either term is acceptable to people who have origins in Spanish-speaking countries. It's hard to think of how to describe Latinos or Hispanics without using either term. So I was just using the term people with origins in Spanish-speaking countries to get at both. Most folks actually prefer Hispanic when you look at public opinion polls, but the media, academics, and many advocates prefer to use the term Latino. Both are generally acceptable.
Yeah. So are there any differences we should be paying attention to?
Sure. I mean, this community is not a monolithic community. About 20% of Latino Hispanic voters tend to vote Republican all across the country, consistently Republican. A few more, perhaps as much as 30-35% among Cuban American voters. Some put it as high as 45% in Florida. In Texas, it tends to be about 30%. But a good nationwide average is about 20%. That means that about 65% of Latino Hispanic voters tend to prefer the Democrat, no matter which Democrat it is who's running. So this community is not quite as monolithic as African-American voters, where about 90 to 95% tend to vote Democrat. But these patterns of a 20% versus 65%, the others undecided or not committed, is a pretty consistent pattern across the country, again, with the exceptions of Florida and Texas.
I get it. And I like you're saying Latino-Hispanic voters.
Yep. I think either term is absolutely acceptable.
So Hillary Clinton recently told a crowd of Latino Hispanic supporters that any chance of victory in November depends on turning out the Latino vote. So do you agree with that?
Yes, that's absolutely true. Latinos have increased as a percent of our national population, at least since 1980. One way to think of it is that Latino voters now represent a more sizable percentage of voters across the entire country and in almost every state, but especially in key potential swing states like Florida and Nevada, and Colorado, perhaps New Mexico, certainly in Arizona as another possibility. But the key to the influence that they have, because they're not a majority of voters, Latinos, as many people know, include a lot of individuals who are non-citizens, also include a large percentage who are under the age of 18 and therefore not yet eligible to vote. But the turnout of these individuals can be a critical contributor to the margin of victory. Recently, it has been more critical to the margin of victory for Democratic candidates than for Republican candidates. In the past, for example, in 2000 and 2004, Latino voters were critical contributors to the margin of victory for George W. Bush in states like Florida, and certainly in one of those elections in a state like New Jersey. So they can be important for either one of the major party candidates. That was not the case in 2008 when John McCain was the Republican candidate, or in 2012 when Mitt Romney ran. Both of those candidates ran very anti-immigrant, anti-immigration reform campaigns. I think that's the reason that their support among Latino voters dropped dramatically.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering what you think about this article that I referenced in the Washington Post, that some, especially some in the Latino Hispanic community, were concerned that Hillary Clinton's campaign was not doing enough to reach out to Hispanic voters.
That is a challenge that the Democratic Party has faced. In fact, it was President Obama's two campaigns that switched, if you will, in terms of targeting Hispanic voters to a very significant degree. There is concern among some quarters that the Clinton campaign is not doing as much as it should, driven by the assumption that most Latino voters are likely to vote for her because of the very clear and consistent anti-immigrant, and one might argue, anti-Latino positions that the Trump campaign has taken, especially on issues related to immigration and immigration reform. So the assumption is that Latino voters would not vote for Trump, so we don't need to worry about them. The difficulty of that assumption is that it may affect turnout. Latinos, unfortunately, are a segment of our electorate that is not always the target of mobilization. Campaigns generally mobilize voters who have a high propensity to turn out. That low propensity of Latinos to turn out means that they're less likely to be contacted by campaigns, which means then that they're likely to continue to have lower rates of voter registration and voter turnout. I do know that the Clinton campaign is undertaking major efforts to change that in at least two states, Florida and Nevada, key potential swing states. The question will be whether they do that nationwide as well.
So why do you think it could be that, according to at least some polls, she is Hillary Clinton is trailing what Barack Obama's numbers were in 2012 in some of these key states, including Florida and Nevada? Why would she not have as much Hispanic support as Barack Obama did in 2012?
I think in the end she's likely to have as much, if not actually more, because of the alienation of many Latino voters by the Trump campaign. I think right now the polls are showing a bit of ambiguity, a bit of questioning, I think maybe even a lack of contact. But I would expect her support to be roughly equal to that President Obama received. I think the lack of contact, the lack of mobilization is being reflected in part in the polls that we're seeing. There's some possibility, we don't know because the polls are not that precise, that younger Latino voters, which represent larger and larger portions of the Latino electorate, it's important to remember that Latinos are a much younger population than the rest of the country. 800,000 Latinos turn 18 every year. 94% of Latinos who are under the age of 18 are born in the United States, therefore are automatically eligible to register and vote once they turn 18. Part of the reason for the lower support may be the lower support that the Clinton campaign is receiving generally from younger voters relative to the support that Barack Obama received. It's very important that she try to mobilize that segment of the electorate.
I think the article, though, was making note of how could, in this election year, where the other major party candidate is consistently attacking, criticizing Hispanics, Latinos, cracking down on immigration issues, talking about the wall, how could, in this climate, there be tempered support for Hillary Clinton?
Well, what's important to also remember is that there is also lower support for Donald Trump among Latinos than would be expected for any Republican candidate running for office. He's polling now, for example, at about 19%, depending on the poll, in Florida, which would be a historic low among Latino Hispanic voters in Florida. So he's not doing well either. The question will be on Election Day whether or not Latinos turn out and which candidate they support. I think there's every reason to think that they will cast very significant support for Secretary Clinton because of the position that Donald Trump has taken.
We are talking with Luis Ricardo Fraga, professor of political science and co-director of the Institute for Latino Studies at the University of Notre Dame, about the Latino-Hispanic vote in 2016. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about how the Latino-Hispanic vote will influence the 2016 election. And wondering, if you are a Hispanic voter, what issues are on your mind? What issues are important to you, and which candidate will you be supporting and why? And what do you make of this report that says some Democrats are concerned that Hillary Clinton's campaign is not doing enough to reach out to Hispanic Latino voters? And we welcome your other questions and issues at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Luis Ricardo Fraga, a professor of political science and the co-director of the Institute for Latino Studies at the University of Notre Dame. And let's take a call from Ann in Milwaukee first. Hi, Ann.
Hi, good morning. Okay, well, I'm Mexican-American from Milwaukee, and I'm a strong Clinton supporter. I hope to be able to help in the get-out-the-vote effort in the Latino community here. And I have to say that sometimes I hear people say, you know, that Secretary Clinton isn't doing enough in this regard. I watched as much as I could of the Democratic convention this year. I thought she did a wonderful job in including Latinos, and she particularly addressed very well the immigration issue. I thought it was wonderful including people who were who were immigrants themselves, including undocumented people who were able to become documented or who were in the process of doing that, and their children. And so I'd like to know, what more should she be doing to mobilize the Latino vote? I honestly don't understand that, and I hear people say that, but they're never specific. So I'd like to hear some specifics, please.
Yeah, no, our guest was not necessarily saying that was the case. One of the people in the Washington Post article that was concerned anyway, maybe because poll numbers show that Hillary Clinton's support among Latino Hispanic voters is lower than Barack Obama's was the president of the National Council of La Raza, the largest Latino nonprofit advocacy organization in the U.S., recently said, "We are not seeing the Democratic Party take advantage of this moment in time, really looking to leverage more engagement in a more strategic way with our community." Professor Fraga, what is it that do you think that Hillary Clinton could do to reach out more, or do you think she's doing enough?
Well, Anne makes an excellent point, and thank you for your comment and question, Anne. What I think the many folks like Janet Murguia, the president of National Council of La Raza, are referring to is questioning whether or not the Clinton campaign and the Democratic Party are using this particular election not just to mobilize Latinos on Election Day, but to build a long-term infrastructure of organization within the Democratic Party in key states, which can then be mobilized during subsequent elections as well. What we know from our research is that what tends to lead most to Latinos turning out is personal contact by a co-ethnic. That is, another Latino, Latina person going to someone's door, knocking on the door, asking someone to register, and then on election day, knocking on the door again and saying, hey, have you voted? We really want to make sure that you vote. The question is whether or not the campaign and the party generally are investing in the organizational and on-the-ground resources to be able to turn out the vote on election day and build that infrastructure. Without question, as the commenter says, the Clinton campaign and Secretary Clinton herself have taken very clear positions in support of where most Latinos and Latinas are with regards to immigration, with regards to a path to legalization, with regards to a need to revisit our policies of the past regarding immigration. No question about that. The question is, are they actually doing enough to mobilize voters on election day and build that infrastructure for the future?
Anything else, Ann?
No, that I thought that was very helpful, and as a matter of fact, that will motivate me to get out there and actually participate.
Yeah, thank you very much, Anne, for the call. So, talk a little bit more, Professor, about the importance of that mobilization. If Latinos stay home on Election Day, that very well could sway the election to Donald Trump?
Well, it's a very interesting question. Right now, Donald Trump's strongest support is coming from whites who have not been to college, although he's getting support from a cross-section, largely of white voters, I must say, across the entire country, but especially among white non-college-educated voters. The question is how many of them will turn out. Remember that an election is always competitive, and the campaigns are required, if they choose to do everything they can to win, to mobilize their supporters. So the work that the Clinton campaign is doing has to be balanced with the work that the Trump campaign is doing as well. Right now, what seems to be the case is that the Trump campaign is not doing very much to develop its own ground game of turnout among its own supporters. If that is the case, and if that continues, then I think the Clinton campaign will be in a better position to perhaps win, even if there isn't the targeted mobilization that one is referring to here, that we were talking about. Again, it's very important, however, that we understand that this is a unique opportunity for the Democratic Party because of the nature of the Trump campaign regarding immigration policy and many other policy positions that he has taken to solidify their support and establish a tradition of mobilization within Latino communities. The question is how much the campaign will do that.
You mentioned that most of Donald Trump's support comes from the white non-college educated voters, but is that to say that there aren't Latino Hispanic voters who support him?
No, I think again, if you look at the polls, it's a little lower than 20%. It's about 15 to 17% nationwide polls are indicating of support that he gets. Again, as I said at the beginning, it's important to remember that about 20% of all Latino Hispanic voters will vote for almost any Republican who runs for office. His support is less among Hispanic voters. Again, Florida is a key bellwether state. He seems to be doing much less well there among Hispanic voters than one would expect.
Yeah, so he's doing less well, but you're saying that there are some Latino Hispanic voters who will vote for a Republican no matter what, even if that Republican suggests building a wall along the Mexican border and refers to some immigrants as murderers or rapists. That doesn't matter.
Yes, there was the comment made by one of his supporters regarding the possibility that there would be a taco truck on every corner.
Yes.
And suggesting that that would be bad for the country. He is, if you will, the person who made that comment. You know, of course, entitled to his view, entitled to his opinion, but he's symbolic of a segment of support Among some Hispanics, again, at most about 20%, who I think have a position on immigration-related issues that is more similar to Donald Trump's than Secretary Clinton's. Some of those Hispanic consistent Republican voters vote for Republicans because of its traditional stand on issues of choice and abortion. Some do it because of the traditional stand on the Republican Party stand on gay marriage, but that doesn't represent anything close to a majority of Hispanics, but it's important to keep that 20% in mind.
I almost forgot about that. That I was on vacation when that happened, and it seemed to me that there were a lot of people saying, what would be wrong with having a taco truck on every corner?
Well, I just had tacos from a taco truck for dinner last night, so I may be biased, but I think I put a little bit too much onion on them for my digestion. But depending on the truck and whether it has been assessed by the public health department, it can be a very nice lunch and even dinner, and has become quite popular. I know this isn't the focus of our attention, but in Los Angeles, there are magnificent kimchi tacos that combine Korean flavors with traditional Mexican food, all types of combinations of flavors that represent the growing multiculturalism and, I think, beauty of our country.
Oh, well, that sounds great. Well, actually, we are one of the reasons we not only was this issue in the news, and that's what we often do, but it's also the beginning of Hispanic Heritage Month. What should we know as Hispanic Heritage Month gets underway?
Two things I'll point to. One, of course, we know that our Hispanic Latino communities, and I like to use the plural communities in the United States, come from a number of different countries. However, 64% of all Hispanics and Latinos in the United States come from Mexico or have origins in Mexico. 9%, perhaps as much as 9.8%, are Puerto Rican. 3.8% are Salvadorian. 3.7% are Cuban. So when we think of the Hispanic Latino community, it is diverse, but there is a very large majority that comes from one particular country. That's why this issue of the wall and immigration from Mexico becomes very significant. But it's very important to remember during Latino Hispanic Heritage Month, I'll say Hispanic Heritage Month, that's the official designation, that there is a growing propensity among all of these groups from all of these different countries to identify, of course, strongly with their country of origin, but also to identify strongly as pan-ethnics, that is, as Latinos or Hispanics, and to identify very strongly as Americans. We've traditionally thought of immigrant groups in the United States as integrating across generations, particularly from the second to the third generation, forgetting about the country of heritage, forgetting the language, forgetting the culture, identifying much more strongly as Americans. Latinos, Hispanics seem to be following a very distinct path. They continue to identify, even across generations, with their country of origin very strongly. They also identify very strongly as pan-ethnic Latinos and Hispanics, and they identify very strongly as Americans. Their identities are additive, not subtractive. They may represent the hope that many of us had the United States would be, which is a country where you can have many different peoples from many different cultures, but also allow them to display their distinctiveness at the same time. And it doesn't take away from their loyalty to the country, their patriotism, and their willingness to commit to the country. They can have it all.
Our guest is Luis Ricardo Fraga, professor of political science, co-director of the Institute for Latino Studies at the University of Notre Dame, talking with him about the Latino-Hispanic voter and the issues that are important to them during this 2016 presidential election year, and talking a little bit about Hispanic Heritage Month as it is getting underway. And we're welcoming your input. We're welcoming your questions, concerns. I'm wondering if you are a Hispanic voter. What issues are important to you? Which candidate will you be supporting and why? And how do you see the Hispanic vote influencing the 2016 election? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Coming up a little bit later in the hour, we are going to talk about some other issues making news on the campaign trail. We'll get our guest to talk a little bit about national security and how that issue is likely to be playing in our presidential election this year, as we just had more bombings in New York and New Jersey and those stabbings as well in Minnesota. But Clinton in Appleton emails, and he writes, "The fact that we are even discussing the effect of a single ethnic group on our elections is very troubling. The founding fathers were concerned that too many immigrants arriving too quickly from one place would be disruptive or might even destroy the republic." And then he goes on to say, "We are probably about to see the founders' fears realized." What's your response to that?
Thank you for the question. It's very consistent with what I just said before. There is no evidence that as our country has accepted more immigrants, that it has been challenged or torn apart. In fact, our country and our institutions have demonstrated historically an incredible capacity to integrate peoples who come from different countries. Notice what I said just a couple of minutes ago about the way in which Latinos, many Latinos, understand themselves in this country. Yes, they value their culture. Yes, they value their origins. Yes, they honor their ancestors. It doesn't take away from the extent to which they also participate in the military at higher rates than almost any other ethnic racial group in the country. It doesn't take away at all from their commitment to the future of this country, to want to invest in their children, to have high expectations of their children doing well in school. It's interesting that some of those who see our growing ethnic, racial, and multicultural diversity as a threat to the country actually have a lower set of expectations as to how strong a country we are and how strong our public and social institutions are and have always been in integrating people from many different countries. I prefer to see it, because that's what the historical reality is, as a sign of strength of our country to be able to integrate folks from many different national origins, rather than as a weakness.
Back to the phones, and Cheryl Ann in Wausau is with us now. Hi, Cheryl Ann.
Hi, thank you for having me. I just wanted to say that as a fourth generation Mexican American, I am very proud to be able to say that I am pleased with the stance that Hillary's taking to help Mexican Americans who are here already and who see themselves as Mexican Americans to find a path to citizenship and to being able to be part of the process. They integrate as quickly as possible. When my great-grandma came to America, she would not allow speaking of Spanish in the home. She was the only one who spoke Spanish. She made all her children begin to speak English as soon as they got here. They were migrant farmers that came in from Mexico and worked their way to Chicago over about 12 years, and by the time they got to Chicago, everyone spoke Spanish. Everyone spoke English, and they got good jobs in Chicago. I believe that can happen today for all families that are here, and I want that to be part of the heritage that America gives to everybody.
Thank you, Cheryl, and we'll get our guest, Luis Ricardo Fraga, to respond to your comments after we check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. And you can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking about issues important to Latino Hispanic voters, a voting block that is expected to play a major role on Election Day and could ultimately determine the final outcome. What do you think? What questions do you have? Are you a Hispanic voter? What issues are important to you? I'm Joy Cardine. We'll check news and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network. What issues are on the minds of Hispanic voters today? We are talking about that as we talk with our guest, Luis Ricardo Fraga, a professor of political science and the co-director of the Institute for Latino Studies at the University of Notre Dame. Welcoming your input, especially interested in hearing from you if you are a Latino Hispanic voter. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. But certainly welcoming calls from anyone as we talk about the importance of the Hispanic vote in the 2016 presidential race. We heard from a caller, Cheryl Ann from Wausau, who said, I believe she was fourth generation Mexican American, and she was pleased with the positions of presidential candidate Hillary Clinton and talked about Mexican immigrants learning English, I believe, was one of, and assimilating, I think, is where she was going. Professor Fraga, what's your response to Cheryl Ann?
Cheryl Ann very much demonstrates what a number of us have found in our research. That is, even though she's fourth generation, she still demonstrated from her comments a great sensitivity to immigrants and immigration and support for immigration reform. We find that even across generations, there is a very strong preference among Latinos for the country handling the issue, dealing with the issue of immigration in a much more constructive way than it has been able to do in our recent past. Her comment about the integration and desire for integration and incorporation by Latino immigrants into American society is also verified by a number of different studies. Immigrants, that is those who come from other countries, Latino immigrants, those who are in the United States and come from other countries, over 90% say that it's very important to learn English. Over 90% of that first generation, this is according to a survey study that we conducted, over 90% say that it's very important that immigrants accommodate and change to integrate into the new culture. What's important to understand is that they also say that they would like to retain Spanish, and they would also like to retain their cultural distinctiveness. So it refers back to what I was referring to earlier, which is that Latinos see themselves as part of this society, want to be part of this society, but also want to maintain strong cultural ties to their countries of origin. They would like to have both simultaneously, because that's in fact what the lives of many of these Latinos actually represents.
Let's take another call from Victoria in Madison. Hi, Victoria.
Hi, Joey. First of all, thank you for taking my call, and I like your show very much. I wanted to say that I'm an American citizen, but I was born in Argentina. I've lived in this country for 25 years, and I wanted to say that all my Latino friends, and actually my non-Latino friends, are going to be voting strongly for Hillary Clinton. None of them likes the attitude, in my opinion, racist and divisive of Mr. Trump.
Thank you very much, Victoria, for sharing that. Just clarify, Professor Fraga, if besides Victoria called the racist comments of Donald Trump prompting her and all of her friends and others that she knows in the Latino communities to vote for Hillary Clinton, what issues are most on the minds of Hispanic voters?
Very, very good question. If you ask Hispanic voters, Latino voters, what's the most important issue facing the country, they tend to respond exactly as most Americans do. During the time of the economic downturn, it was jobs and the economy. At times of perceived national security threat, it's the issue of national security. When you ask Latinos, however, what's the most important issue facing Latino communities today? Notice the difference, right? What's the most important issue facing the country? They respond like most Americans. What's the most important issue facing Latino communities? The issue that comes out on top, not a majority, but a clear plurality and a consistent plurality, is the issue of immigration. Followed by jobs and the economy, followed by education. So education and immigration, as with regards to the Latino community, make them distinct in terms of their policy preferences when they're focusing on their own communities rather than on the country as a whole.
Next we go to Ann in Monona. Hi, Ann.
Hi. I wondered whether your guest had any feeling for roughly, you know, how many or what proportion of Latinos are concerned about Hillary Clinton, because Bill Clinton was the guy who got NAFTA passed, which was opposed by workers in Mexico, in Canada, and in the United States so strongly, but was supported so strongly by multinational corporations.
Does NAFTA have anything to do with today's Latino-Hispanic vote, Professor Fraga?
I think that Hillary Clinton pivoted on this issue, and she was pushed to do that by the campaign, the primary campaign of Bernie Sanders. When Senator Sanders began to receive tremendous amounts of support from many different sectors of Democratic primary voters in questioning NAFTA, questioning a lot of the international trade deals, including NAFTA, Secretary Clinton and her campaign pivoted. She now takes the position of the need to go slowly and cautiously with regards to such issues. If one believes the pivot, if one understands that she learned something from the campaign of Senator Sanders, then I think it becomes a much less of an issue for many Latino voters than it may have been otherwise. It's interesting that Donald Trump takes an even stronger stand against international trade deals, but it doesn't seem to have the same impact in increasing support among Latino voters as one might expect.
Thank you very much, Ann. Speaking of Bernie Sanders, and we touched on it briefly earlier in the hour, a lot of young people, millennials, were supporting Bernie Sanders, and I read that a lot of Latino-Hispanic millennials were supporting Bernie Sanders, and that that might be where a little bit of effort is needed on Hillary Clinton's part.
No question. It was fascinating for me to see how multicultural, multi-ethnic, and multi-class the younger millennial support was for the Bernie Sanders campaign. He put together a true multicultural coalition if one looked at the younger voters within his coalition. Overall, it was distinct, but among the younger voters. That propensity to support someone who was calling for a very different understanding of the role of banks and large industries and concentration of wealth and concerns about access and opportunity resounded well, and the responses were very supportive from many different voters, younger voters especially, including Latino voters. The question today for the Clinton campaign is, what are they going to do to specifically appeal to those voters? I think they're still working on trying to figure out what the message is, and I think the campaign has come to understand that that she is not, Donald Trump is not going to be sufficient to mobilize many millennial voters, including millennial Latino voters.
A caller I was just going to go to just dropped off. She said to our producer that she was Hispanic, and that she, I don't think she was necessarily saying she completely supports Donald Trump, but did say that Hispanics and Latinos should come into this country legally and should not be breaking the law. Is there a faction that believes that?
Oh, absolutely. And part of that, that would comprise part of that 20% that I referred to earlier. There is a consistent, about, again, 20% of Latinos, according to national public opinion polls, who have a very strong position regarding undocumented immigration and even with regards to the need for a deportation. Part of the challenge in that position is that if one wanted to come to the United States legally from many countries in Latin America, taking Mexico as one example, one would have to wait about 20 to 25 years before one's application would begin to be processed. The backlog of applicants who want to come in legally has gotten so long, and it takes such a long period of time that the theory that one should do it legally makes sense. However, the reality of doing it legally is far more complicated, and our current processing makes that virtually impossible for most folks.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily a justification for coming without papers, but it's part of the reality that immigrants confront.
Well, I did want to ask you about the story that's the top story in the news this week. Over the weekend, 29 people in New York were injured following explosions in New York, and then there were other bombs found in New Jersey as well. There is a suspect was taken into custody yesterday, but there's still plenty that we don't know about what happened here. First off, your reaction to this potential terrorist attack in New York and New Jersey, and for that matter, stabbings in St. Cloud, Minnesota at a mall. How that's going to play in the presidential election?
Well, we saw already yesterday the responses of both campaigns. Donald Trump used it as an opportunity to promote his stand on questioning the allowance of immigrants from Muslim countries to come to the United States. Secretary Clinton said we must have a much more strategic response, a much more measured and thoughtful response rather than banning everyone. Unfortunately, part of our reality, I think, in the United States and in Western Europe and many other countries of the world is that these sorts of individual attacks are likely to continue. What to do to prevent them? I know law enforcement does a great deal, but what to do to prevent them from ever occurring again is very, very difficult for anyone in the country to try to resolve.
I'm going to leave it there. Thank you so much for being with us.
You're very welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.
Luis Ricardo Fraga is a professor of political science and the co-director of the Institute for Latino Studies at the University of Notre Dame. Thanks very much to Bill Martins and Chris Molina and Brianne Chasso for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. It's On Your Money coming up next. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.